The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
Tim Spector is with us. He is an epidemiologist, a medical doctor, lead research for the Zoe Health Study, professor of genetic epidemiology at King's College London, director of the Twins UK Registry. The bio goes on and on and on for some while. This is just the expurgated version. Tim, how are you?
Marvellous, thank you.
Tim, can we begin with the twins? Because I discover in your new book, Ferment, you're talking about some of the research discovered from your twin study and the discovery that there is relatively limited sharing between twins in their gut microbiomes. It is distinct and individual to all of us. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And in a way, using identical twins, you'd expect there to be the sort of maximum sharing possible, because identical genes, they're clones, you know, born at the same time, same mother, they go through life together. And yet they really only share about a quarter of their microbes. Most of them are unique to them. And the rest of us share even less. So it's not very genetic at all. And, you know, it's a bit of a mystery how they all end up quite different. But there we go. This is the big thing that actually makes us different, particularly with it, you know, with regard to food.
Now, where then, and we'll get into the if you want to actively feed your gut biome, but before that, if you are just passively feeding it, where do the microbes come from and why is a balanced gut microbiome important?
Well, where do microbes come from? Well, we get them from our mother at birth. Okay, so we're born sterile. And we get them from the mucky birth process, which is all the different secretions and poo and stuff goes in. We're designed, all animals are, to swallow it so that those microbes go into our gut. We can then digest breast milk through the microbes, through the help of the microbes, and that allows us to grow. So that's how it all starts. And then we just accumulate them in life through food and other products and, you know, in the air and touching people, et cetera, et cetera. And so they evolve. So by the age of about 4 or 5, you've got a fairly adult-looking gut microbiome that is going to be quite distinct to you, meaning that you're going to respond to foods differently. And we can all, but it doesn't matter where you start from, we can all improve our gut microbes by feeding them the right food. So I think that's the crucial point here. And some of the foods that seem to really improve our gut health are these fermented ones.
And this brings us to
a small percentage.
The oddest dedication that I've seen in a book where you apologize for the state of the fridge to your better half. You detail the kind of fermenting that you can do. We start with cabbage. Sauerkraut is one of the most common.
Yes, so it's probably worth saying what fermentation is, because people might have a different bit, but it's the transformation of food by microbes into something more delicious, more complicated, more complex, and more healthy. And they do this through chemical reactions with the food. So in a way, what's happening is with fermented food, you're double fermenting it, because you ferment it outside before it gets to you. So in say a yogurt or something, it's the microbes are busy changing milk into something much better. And then once it goes inside you again, your normal residents in your gut then have another go at it. So it gets double fermented and produces even more good stuff from it. So that's why we've sort of evolved to eat a lot of fermented foods over millennia. Because, you know, before fridges, that's also how we kept this stuff fresh and stopped it going moldy. And so it was crucial for our survival.
How does it survive the journey through the fairly caustic environment of the stomach?
It does this because there are billions of them, or probably trillions of them, actually. And that means that even if 90% get killed off, there's enough that survive that have an impact on your health. And if you have them with food, often they can within a wrapping of, say, fat, your yogurt or your cheese, oil, or you know, surrounded by a bit of cabbage in your sauerkraut, so the acid can't get to them. So yes, there's a bit of a cull, but plenty of them get through, and so they can have an effect. We now know this. We that used to be a bit of a myth that we all died, but we know that that's not true anymore.
And is the reason that we have moved away from fermented food somewhat in the modern era, is it a squeamishness? Because some of the recipes that you detail, at first glance, they look like a way to guarantee a trip to the A&E.
Yeah, well, I think we lost, when we switched over to refrigerators, we lost a lot of this culture. You know, in Britain and Ireland particularly, whereas other countries kept it going. And so it's quite normal for if you live in Central or Eastern Europe or even, you know, the Southern Mediterranean or the Scandinavian countries, that you'd be, you know, everyone's granny would know how to do all this stuff, right? And we've just lost it. And I think there is a bit of a yuck factor because we say, oh, I don't want microbes growing in my food. And we don't realize that, you know, every time we tuck into a bit of, cheddar or any old cheese, it's got microbes in it. Yogurt's got, it's teeming with microbes. But we that's kept away from us by the sort of industrial machine that prepares our food these days. So we've lost touch, but it's incredibly safe. So despite the state of my fridge, I've never poisoned my family, you know, in the last 15 years of playing with this stuff. You know, there's the odd bit of mold, but you scrape it off and carry on, just like my, you know, my mum and granny used to do. And you get to know that if you're fermenting it properly, what you're doing is adding things like salt that create an environment that it's impossible for any nasty bugs to grow.
It is very counterintuitive, though. I mean, to read a recipe that says, sort of after 5 days, take the jar out of the press and burp it, and if the mold has gone a different colour, scrape that off, but keep the white stuff. It's unusual in the modern Western era to think of cooking that way.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you know, part of trying to, writing this book is to try and change people's habits. And I think people don't realize, A, how easy it is, how cheap it is to make your own. You don't have to buy this expensive stuff from the store. And how crucial it can be, you know, for your health if you do this. So I think, yeah, there's this little, but, you know, you don't start necessarily at that level. I try to get people to start with easy recipes, things like sauerkraut, where you just, you know, you cut up a cabbage, you slice it up, you add 2% salt, you massage it for 5 minutes, and you put it in a jar. I mean, you can't get much simpler. And the salt and the microbes naturally there will do the work. And it just, doing that just explains that we're surrounded by microbes anyway. We just can't see them. And all we're doing is we're controlling them, like we're farming them. And when things go moldy, like uncontrolled growth, so you're not, you know, there's no farming, there's no control of the environment, they just randomly take over, you know, a bit of rotten fruit. But if you control it with the right amount of sugar or the right amount of salt, only the good ones will grow, and they will kill off all the bad ones that, you know, we relate to when we think of, you know, food going off.
And the net health benefit of eating this style of diet then is what, Tim?
It is, you dramatically improve your immune system is how we think it works. So there's countless studies now showing that people who have regular fermented foods, less heart disease, less type 2 diabetes, it may help control your weight and your metabolism, but predominantly your immune short-term studies so you can reduce levels of inflammation, which is a sign that your immune system is being turned on by about a third, just after a couple of weeks of taking regular ferments. And you know, I'm a co-founder of this company, Zoe, and this allows us to do enormous scale studies. So we looked at, you know, 9,000 people who were citizen scientists in the UK who agreed to taking ferments a day, having taken them before. Real life. So not these tiny studies, were just with a few paid male students as volunteers. And what was interesting is about 1,000 people didn't hack it, right? They couldn't get to three a day. Maybe the yuck factor, but the 6,500 did. And of those, within 2 weeks, over half noticed improvements in their mood, their energy levels, they weren't tired, hungry, so they were eating less. And they also had less bloating in their guts, and they noticed constipation sort of disappeared. So, you know, a small amount of people might have problems with it. The chances are, if you can get to three ferments a day, you really get all the benefits. And you know, not only in your immune system, but you'll notice it in your mood, your energy, it goes to your brain as well. So that's what I'm trying to do here is just get people to really think of this as a really important health food that, you know, you can add to the meal. And so the book is also full of things of how, you know, you don't have to go out and just buy that. You can add it to all sorts of dishes.
It's a fascinating read, and it's also full of, as you say, the recipes, both throughout and at the end, are the kind of thing where you think, well, okay, I can give it a shot myself. It is called Ferment, and it is by Tim Spector. Tim, thank you very much.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.